Thank you. thank you. That was just lovely. You guys are good, you know? So that song, done in that sort of gentle 3/4 time, has a wonderful majesty. Last year in January, the Paris Jazz Band did a service in January. I think it was on Martin Luther King Day. And I looked back at the program for that, and the hymn we had chose was Gather the Spirit. So I guess that's a favorite of ours. So this is the message for all ages, and it is truly for all ages. So I have a question for everybody. Everybody, how many of you like stories? Pretty much everybody, right? Everybody likes stories. So we live immersed in stories, all kinds of stories. So there's, of course, the stories of storybooks and fiction and children's stories and novels and that sort of thing. But basically, pretty much everything we do amounts to stories. There's the stories of history and the stories of religion and the stories of science and the stories of music and the stories of philosophy. They're the stories of our lives and the stories we tell each other and the stories we believe about each other and the stories we hear on the news. And some of the stories are true and some of the stories are, I won't say false, but they're fiction. They're made up. So there's lots of made up stories, and those kinds of stories have a different kind of truth sometimes for us. So we are swimming in a sea of stories. And there's a big sort of big sort of grown-up word for this is called narrative. So that's sort of the adult or philosophical word for what I'm talking about. We're creatures of narrative, but in the simplest terms, we live in stories. We make sense out of our world through stories. We tell each other stories. We listen to stories. It's all a story. And there's a book I brought, and it's called Harun and the Sea of Stories, and it's a novel, and it's by Salman Rushdie. I don't know how many of you young people are up to chapter books yet. So how many of you young people are now reading chapter books? Okay, lots of young people are reading chapter books. So this is a chapter book. Without pictures, you have to use your imagination, okay? It's a wonderful story in and of itself, and it's kind of a story about stories. I love this book so much, I've read it 3 times, and I'm ready to read it again. The last time I read it, according to my notes in the front of the book, was in 2000, so I'm overdue. I haven't read it in 15 years. Wonderful, wonderful book. And to read you a passage from it to see if I can get you interested in it. And, you know, for your birthday, or for, I don't know, Father's Day or Mother's Day or something, you gotta get this book into your household and you gotta read it, or read it as a family, or have your mom and dad read it to you. So it's about, oh, and I have to explain the cover and the front of our order of service, because there's a bird on the front of the service and it's a hoopoe. And a hoopoe named Butt, B-U-T-T, is a major character. He's actually depicted on this, on the cover of the book. And a hoopoe's a funny and fast little bird. He kind of runs around. And our hero, Harun Khalifa, takes a journey to the Sea of Stories, flying on the back of this bird. And I'm going to read you a piece of that journey, about a page and a half. See if I can get you interested in this. And then you have to, you know, sort of bug your parents to buy you the book. All right? So it was that Harun Khalifa, a storyteller's son, soared into the night sky on the back of Butt the Hoopoe, along with If the Water Genie as his guide. He was traveling with a If and a Butt. The sun rose, and after a time, Harun spotted something in the distance, a heavenly body like a large asteroid. That is Kahani, the Earth's second moon, said Butt the Hoopoe without moving its beak. But, Harun stammered, much to the hoopoe's amusement. Surely the Earth has just one moon. How could a second satellite have remained undiscovered for so long? But it is because of speed, but the hoopoe responded. Speed, most necessary of qualities. In any emergency, fire, auto, marine, what is required above all things? Of course, speed, a fire truck, ambulance, rescue ship. And what do we prize in a brainy fellow? Is it not his quickness of thought? And in any sport, speed of foot, hand, eye is of the essence. And what humans cannot do quickly enough, they build machines to do faster. Speed, super speed. If not for the speed of light, the universe itself would be dark and cold. But if speed brings light to reveal, it can be also used to conceal. The moon, Kahani, travels so fast, wonder of wonders, that no earth instruments can detect it. Also, its orbit varies by 1 degree per circuit, so that in 360 orbits, it has overflown every spot upon the earth. Variety of behavior assists in evasion of detection. But also, there are serious purposes for the variations of orbit. Story water facilities must be provided across the entire planet with an even hand. Vroom, vroom, only at high speed may this be done. You appreciate the further bonuses of machines? Then is this moon, Kahani, driven by mechanical means? Harun asked, but Butt had turned its attention to practical matters. Moon approaching, it said, without moving its beak. Relative speed synchronized. Landing procedures initiated. Splashdown in 30 seconds, 29, 28. Rushing up towards them was a sparkling and seemingly infinite expanse of water. The surface of Kahani appeared, as far as Harun's eye could see, to be entirely liquid. And what water it was! It shone with colors everywhere, colors in a brilliant riot, colors such as Harun could never have imagined. And it was evidently a warm ocean. Harun could see steam rising off it, steam that glowed in sunlight. He caught his breath. The ocean of the streams of story, said If the Water Genie, his blue whiskers bristling with pride. Wasn't it worth traveling so far and so fast to see? 3, said But the Hoopoe without moving its beak. 2, 1, 0, splashdown. So I hope it interested you in this book. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's for the adults in the audience. It works on many, many levels, so you will enjoy it too, I promise you. So, morning, for the offertory, we have a piece of original music by local composer Phil Myers. Phil lives in Winchester, and he's been sort of composer to the band. He's really been tremendous, and he offered up this beautiful piece called The River, and our own Krista Carmichael arranged it for the band. So I hope you enjoy it while we do the offertory. Please give generously as you are able to support this wonderful church and all its activities. We appreciate your generosity, and we hope you'll enjoy this piece while the offertory is taking place.
Thank you.
also like to thank Mike Fitzer for joining us. So let's have a round of applause for Michael. He came to our rehearsals, and it goes without. You all know what a wonderful musician and singer and blessing Mike Fitzer is for our church. So I just wanted to call him out there and thank him for really helping us out here. So thank you all for being here. As I'm sure everyone knows, tempo is a critical component of music. This morning I'd like to talk, I hope fruitfully, about time, tempo, keeping time, keeping the pace, and pacing yourself. Oh, and I want to talk about the sun, which we haven't seen much of lately. You've heard today, or will hear, from the Paris Jazz Band, musical numbers that are either fast or slow, or in some instances, a mixture of fast and slow. As we grow musically as a group, we're increasingly taking on more challenging up-tempo pieces. It's been a fun adventure for us. The master of fast in jazz was Charlie Yardbird Parker. In my Charlie Parker omnibook, The Bible of All Things Charlie, his song Ornithology, and get it, study of birds, ornithology. Ornithology is marked for 236 beats per minute. That sounds like this. I brought my handy little iPhone metronome. Ready? Parker was a leader in a jazz movement called bebop, a rebellion against the legacy of swing jazz. Bebop had two distinctive features: big melodic leaps, that is, formerly unheard and in some might say strange musical intervals, and speed. The bebop greats, Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Ella Fitzgerald, and others, often played or sang really fast. They sort of threw down the gauntlet. Take that, swing music. At 236 beats per minute, Ornithology sounds like this. And so on. I gotta tell you, I could never play guitar that fast, not in my wildest dreams. John McNeil can probably play that fast, by the way. But why can I right off the bat sing that fast? The answer is easy, because speech is essentially music. We don't really hear the notes that our words make in ordinary conversation, but indeed, every sound has a pitch. And our words are a collection of pitches, a melody, if you will. And unlike music, when it comes to speaking, I've been practicing my entire life. So to step into a Charlie Parker melody with my voice at 236 beats per minute is no big deal, because I've been practicing. And that's a key word for musicians, practice. In fact, to play fast, we practice slow. A life lesson, I think. You play the same melody or scale over and over slowly until the line becomes fused in your muscle memory, and then you slowly speed it up and up until you can play as fast as Charlie Parker, the Yardbird. As the passage I read from Haroon in The Message for All Ages said, we truly adore speed. I'll read you the relevant passage once again. Speed, most necessary of qualities. In any emergency, fire, auto, marine, what is required above all things? Of course, speed, a fire truck, ambulance, rescue ship. And what do we prize in a brainy fellow? Is it not his quickness of thought? And in any sport, speed, a foot, hand, eye, is of the essence. And what humans cannot do quickly enough, they build machines to do faster. Speed, super speed, why, if not for the speed of light, the universe itself would be dark and cold. Pretty much every weekday morning, a part of my commute takes place on Route 128. It's a bit of a madhouse. My wife, Peggy, started saying to me as I left for work, "Watch out for the crazy drivers," which quickly got shortened to, "Watch out for crazies." Now I insist that she say that before I leave every morning because it feels like a verbal talisman, a protection against the insanity. But I must confess, I'm one of the crazies too. It's not uncommon for me to hit 80 miles per hour along with everybody else. By the way, I won't go any faster than that. The posted speed limit is 55. If anyone actually is going 55, usually in the center lane, and typically because they're talking on the phone, or, I'm not kidding, texting, they're a complete and utter menace to everyone else around them. So it's a little insane out there. But would we want to go back to the days of the horse and carriage? In 1830, it took a day and a half, as in 36 hours, to travel from Boston to New York City. Google Maps tells me that those 215 miles now take 3 hours and 32 minutes. That's over a 90% improvement in less than two centuries. As for slowing down to smell the roses, I do notice on my madhouse drive the changes in the seasons, plants by the side of the road in blossom or graced with snow, that the clouds are beautiful as I watch them cover the sun. But speed, super speed, why, if not for the speed of light, the universe itself would be dark and cold. The last and fastest thing I want to talk about is the speed of light. Today, we were lucky enough to hear that original piece, The River, by gifted local composer Phil Myers. But in addition to being a talented composer, Phil is also an astrophysicist and is one of the most fascinating people you'd ever want to talk to. Phil studies stars, how they're born, how they live and die, how they're distributed throughout the universe. I think stars point to a paradox about speed, and I'll use the nearest star, our wonderful sun, as a case in point. Please check in with Phil to see if I get most of the details right. The sun is an unimaginably huge fusion furnace. According to NASA's website, in its core, the sun fuses 620 million metric tons of hydrogen into helium every second. Let me say that again. 620 million tons per second. That is fast. The resulting mass of the helium created each second is less than the starting mass of all that hydrogen, about 4 million tons less. So what happens to that 4 million tons? Well, based on a little formula that I'm sure you've all heard of, E equals mc squared, that mass is converted into energy, light. Oh, let there be light. The formula says that the resulting energy is equal to that mass, 4 million tons every second, times the speed of light, squared. Wow. Ultimately, because the sun is a sphere, that energy is thrown out into space in all directions. And here we are, 93 million miles away, poor little creatures utterly dependent upon the miracle of fusion for our very existence. Because, as you know, no sun, no peoples, or any other living thing for that matter. The portion of the Earth facing the sun catches a very small percentage of all that sunlight energy. If we use Einstein's formula in reverse, the little old Earth captures about 4.5 pounds of sunlight per second. Again, the key words there are per second, the rate. In a 24-hour day, because the sun is always shining somewhere, that's the equivalent of over 200 tons of pure energy collected, spread over every sunny spot on the planet. But notice, the sun is using itself up. No worries, though, because our nearby star is so damn big it boggles the mind. The sun is about 4.5 billion years old, and it still has enough hydrogen to fuse into helium for another 5 billion years or so. So on the one hand, this massive and incredibly fast process is going on. And on the other, that lucky old sun got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day for billions of years to come. Fast or slow? I think it depends upon your perspective. Let's go back to Route 128. In the morning at 80 miles per hour, the drive seems life-threateningly fast. But I'm sure most of us have been in an airplane coming into an urban airport and looked down at all the cars on the rush hour highway. And they're all just tootling along. They don't seem particularly fast at all. It depends upon whether you're looking at it from the inside or the outside. We need to have the right perspective on speed. How fast is fast? How slow is slow? A housefly hurtling across the room is going faster relative to its own size than you or I could ever hope to achieve using the power of only our own muscles. A toddler grows up in the leisure of the seasons, underpinned by billions upon billions of cell divisions every day. This is no simple slow down and take time to smell the roses homily. We need all speeds in our lives appropriately applied. You don't want to rush through a wedding. You don't want to dawdle through a medical emergency. Our world needs both lullabies and bebop. Certainly pause, reflect, be aware and grateful, stop and take stock for a moment, for sure. And then onward, onward into the headlong tumble that is life. Jendal, Jendal, as the Reverend Norbert Čapek wrote in his wonderful Czechoslovakian hymn. Onward, onward, behind the plow I hurry. Before the day and night join with a kiss, I'll be finished plowing. Onward, onward, the plow digs deeper. There is eternity in every second, and God speaks to me from the furrow. Onward, 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 because there is so much living still to do in the little time we have left. Thank you.
Y'all want to stand? You can. You can dance too. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Here you go. Lean on me when you're not strong. Now I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean. Take it, Mikey.
Please swallow your pride. If I have things you need to borrow, can fill those of your needs that you won't let show.
Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For no one knows that I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. There is a load you have to bear that you can't carry.
I'm right up the road. I'll share your load.
If
you just
call me,
lean on me.
When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. What it won't be long that I'm gonna need somebody to
lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me. When you're not strong.
Myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars like someone in love. Lately the things I do astound me, mostly whenever you're around. Lately, I find myself as though I had wings, bump into things like someone in love. Each time I look at you, I'm limp as a glove and feeling like someone in love.
Gazing at stars, hearing guitars like that someone in love. Sometimes the things I do astound me, mostly whenever you're around me. Lately I seem to walk as though I had wings. Bump into things like someone in love.
Peace be with you till we meet again.
As life lays its task